All right. Welcome back to another episode of The Close-Up, a part of the Orlando Magic HQ Network. I'm your host, Stephen Cameron, and today we have a really fun episode. We have Philip Rostenwright of Orlando Magic Daily and Locked On Magic joining us. We just have a good conversation about the offseason in general, kind of taking lessons that we learned from the regular season and postseason, and how that is going to potentially affect how the Magic operate this offseason going into the draft, trade season, free agency, and even making decisions on the current roster. So it's a good episode. I really enjoyed the conversation with Philip. He is more tapped into this team than just about anyone. So I encourage all of you to give it a full listen all the way to the very end. And if you're not already following Philip, go ahead and check out him and his work. He does phenomenal stuff. Before we get into the episode, I just want to remind everyone that this episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, every live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on the game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our 150 slot machine games. Holy crap, they have 150 different slot machine games. That's crazy. Head to the website today or get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. And the promo code is BLEAV. We are part of the BLEAV Podcast Network, so check them out. Yeah, really not too much to say. We're doing episodes every other week. My episodes are opposite weeks of Al and Anthony's. They're Orlando Magic HQ flagship episodes. So we're kind of bouncing around that. There will be weeks where we do more, where we're both releasing, but you know, the kind of off-season cadence for now is every other week, except when things get really hyped, like, you know, draft and trades and stuff like that. We have a good draft episode coming up for you in a couple of weeks. I have a really good friend joining the show who is a draft expert and, you know, works in the draft industry. So that'll be a lot of fun. So stay tuned for that. And then also stay tuned to our guys, Stanley and Bryce and Skinny. They have been doing some live, I don't know if they're episodes or segments on Bleacher Report. So go to our Twitter page or Instagram and you can find out the schedule. They have, I think, two more. They just did a live show yesterday. They're going to have a couple more coming up in the next few days and weeks. So check that out. Until then, enjoy the conversation with Philip Rostenwright. Appreciate it. All right, everyone. Like I said, I got Philip Rostenwright of Orlando Magic Daily, Locked On Magic, on the show today. Philip, thanks for joining us. How you doing, man?
I am doing good. We're getting ready for the NBA Finals. Countdown to the NBA draft is on. It's almost time to talk about, almost time for Magic to do things again.
It is. It's our time is coming. I've been enjoying the playoff basketball like crazy, though. It's been a lot of fun watching the series. I was pretty locked on to a lot of the West Coast series. How have you been enjoying the playoffs up until this point?
I have been. I mean, it's playoff basketball. You can't complain about it. You know, knowing how close the Magic were to experiencing a little bit of a deeper run in the playoffs, like, it gives you a little bit of withdrawals. Like, I was listening to music yesterday and Bob Marley came on my shuffle and I was just like, oh, I miss Magic season so bad right now.
Yeah. Well, and it's also funny too, because like the last week and a half, we've kind of just been in this like, well, there's no basketball whatsoever. We're just kind of in this holding period until Thursday.
Still,
and
Magic fans,
we do. Not my thing, but you know, if you want basketball, there is that. Magic fans, we're recording this on June 5th, Wednesday. This episode will be coming out on Friday. So if anything crazy happens between now and tomorrow, it won't be Magic related. So you're not missing anything. Philip, I'm excited to have a conversation about the Orlando Magic offseason. It's going to be fun. Magic fans, this isn't like some detailed outline with very specifics. We have some topics we're going to hit on, but it's just going to be a really fun, organic, chill conversation. Philip, before we get into like major offseason, I just want to circle back to last season, right? The, you know, the the regular season. What was one of your bigger takeaways about the team and its functionality regarding to the regular season that you think will impact offseason going into next year?
Yeah, as far as just the regular season, I think the Magic creating this very established defensive identity, that's the bread and butter. Like at the end of the day, like I say this all the time, the regular season is about what can you do every single day without fail. You got 82 games, you know, you have a random Tuesday in January. What are you going to be able to rely on? That's your identity. That's who you are. And that's what you have to carry forward with you through the entire season. So for the Magic, you know, they were good defensively in 2023. They were, I think, sixth in the league in defensive rating after December 2nd or after December 1st, when they, after the 5-20 start, essentially. They established that they could be a pretty good defensive team. They came out this year and they were top five in defense pretty much every day of the season. And they finished third. So to be this young and to finish number three in defensive rating without all the hallmarks of a good defensive team. Like they don't have that great rim protecting big. You know, Paolo Banchero is a star, greatly improved as a defender, but not an excellent defender. They feel like they should have holes in a bunch of places defensively, but they sold out and committed to who they are and to what their identity was. And to see that really establish itself, that's what this Magic program is now. And everything that they layer on top of this team starts with that foundation. And the Magic have to ensure they nurture that and keep that.
I agree. You know, this Magic roster ended the regular season fifth in the East. You know, they had a pretty solid season up, you know, all the way across. There were some downs, there were some ups, but, you know, they played pretty consistently this year. But what made them play that was their defense. They obviously did not finish fifth in the East because of their offense. And, you know, it's cool to see such a young team start to form that identity nicely and have success in it early, in my opinion. And, you know, it was nice to just like finally like have the proof of concept be solidified, right? You know, like you mentioned, we saw bits of it the year prior, but now it's kind of like it's solidified. It's real, and it's likely not going anywhere unless major things happen to this roster, which we'll get to in a little bit. I want to ask that same question now, but specific to the playoffs, right? So because, you know, there's regular season basketball, then there's playoffs basketball, and there's two different things. You play regular season a certain way so you can get to the playoffs and hopefully have success. So when you are thinking back, you know, it's been a little while now, when you're thinking back at the 7-game series the Magic played versus the Cavaliers, you know, what is one of the bigger takeaways? And it's probably won a lot of us know, but maybe not. Maybe I'll say something different. What's one of the takeaways you have from that series that you are thinking about this offseason that you think might impact how the front office and the coaching staff move going into next season?
I mean, I think the first place to start is to continue the last answer and say the Magic's defense stood up. Like again, there were a lot of things that are like, okay, this is a nice regular season defense. You got to be prepared for their physicality, for their intensity. That's tough to do when you have a day off. When you have only a day off between games, you're coming in on a back-to-back or whatever the case may be. To do what the Magic did defensively for the whole 7 games. And yeah, Donovan Mitchell had a really good game 6 and 7, but they pretty much shut everyone else down. They made those games a slog, and Cleveland likes slogs too, but the Magic made that series a rock fight. That defense stood tall in the playoffs, I think, again, is a big testament. The biggest thing, though, that I took away from the playoffs is that Paolo Banchero is a lot better than I think a lot of us thought he was. I know us Magic fans are trying to defend and pitch Paolo Banchero to the national world and say, this guy's really good, and he's really good. The playoffs showed, oh, this guy's like that really good. Like, he's not just, oh, this is a nice young player who has the ball in his hands a lot and is scoring. It's like, oh, this is a guy that you can throw double and triple teams at him, and he's still going to find ways to make something happen. And a lot of the mistakes that he made in the playoffs, and a lot of them were turnover-based, a lot of that's an experience, first and foremost. And a lot of that is like, okay, this is clearly what the Magic have to fix now, is how do we make his job easier? How do we just make life easier for Paolo? Because if he is going to step up on the stage the way that he did, and, you know, he had, what, 20 points per game in every game except for game four, you know, 38 points in game seven, including 24 in the first half, like big shots in game five, big shots in game, you know, big and one in game six.
Yeah.
You know, carry the team through game five, like without doubt. If he's going to be that kind of a player, the question for the Magic is, how do we just make his job easier? How do we get him more spot up three pointers, which he is very capable of hitting? Like, he has to create so much himself, and you don't want to completely take him away from that, but you want to make his life easier. Get him the ball in the dunker spot, get him a spot up three, get him a ball on a cut instead of having him have to just create off the dribble. And it just feels like coming out of the playoffs, it's like, okay, this guy is the real deal. Like, this is a guy we can build at least a championship contending roster around. You know, who knows where he's going to ultimately rank among the best players in the league. And that's probably, you know, at the end of the day, if you want to win a championship, you got to have one of the maybe five or six best players in the league. Who knows where Powell is going to end up on that list, but he's clearly good enough at this juncture of his career to say, we've got to do everything in our power to accentuate what makes him great and find a way to make his life easier. You know, we talk about, you know, I talked about for forever that before Paolo, the last wing player, the last non-center to average 20 points per game was Steve Francis back in 2005. Paolo Banchero's done that. Now we've got to talk about, okay, how do we get Paolo to 25 points per game? Easy. How do we get him to 30? Because it's not going to take very much, because he's going to create all those shots. If we could get someone to create an extra three for him, an extra two-pointer for him, that's five extra points right there. He's at, what, 22? That's a 20. That gets you to 27 really easily. It's not going to take very much to really make Paolo a dominant scorer. It's going to take some guys making his life a little bit easier.
When you think about making Paolo's life easier offensively, and, you know, I think I have it right here. The Magic ended the year 22nd in the league in offensive rating.
Worst among all teams that made the postseason.
Yeah.
That's the thing that matters to me.
It's not good. So when you think about, like, the Magic needing to improve the offense and needing to improve, you know, allowing to optimize Paolo, you know, even more with getting him a couple more looks and things like that, how do you think the front office can do that successfully while not losing the defensive identity that they have built and established? Because it's a hard balance to achieve, right? And they could get themselves up to the 15th best team in offense, but also that could potentially decrease their defensive identity and capability. So what's like the balance there in your perspective of team building, shoring up that offensive hole that we have right now to kind of even things out without sacrificing too much on the defensive side?
You know, some of it starts with how much faith do you have in the culture that you build? I know Jeff Weltman hates, like, the word culture and hates kind of constantly having to say, like, oh, what is a good culture anyway? I know he doesn't like that, but I do think it's really important to ask, you know, what kind of culture have the Magic built? Is this a group that can take in a player who maybe isn't known for their defense and say, hey, we hold each other accountable. You've got to play defense in this way. You know, it's a faith in Jamal Mosley to be able to create a scheme that will cover for any defensive deficiencies or kind of build, you know, that be able to kind of build that defense out around, like, you know, you got to start over every year. Like, you know, you just can't assume you're going to be that great defensively again, but clearly the Magic have kind of built themselves, okay, this is who we are. This is what we do to be successful. This is our process. And that's going to be the test for this young team is as they integrate new players, can they integrate new players into that process? I also feel like it's important to note that the Magic don't have to do, I think, a whole lot to get better offensively. I know them being 22nd in offensive rating sounds like, and like I said, the worst team by offensive rating that made the postseason. I know that sounds like it's a long way away, and the Magic haven't had a team outside the bottom 10 in offensive rating since Dwight. It's not going to take very much because, like, let's say Paolo gets better. You know, Jalen Suggs will get better. Franz Wagner bounces back from shooting sub 30 from three back to 35% from three. That's going to add you another point, you know, another three and a half. So that's, you know, 5 points right there. The biggest thing for, you know, the biggest thing for me is reducing turnovers. The Magic, I think, were 28th or 27th in the league in turnover rate. They had a 15% turnover rate. They have to turn the ball over less and value possessions more, because that's not only going to set their defense up better. It's scary. Their defense could be a lot better, because when their defense is set, they were just impossible to score against. Teams had to run against them to try and catch them before that defense could get set. Reducing those turnovers will go a long way to just making the offense better. So it to me, reforming the offense isn't about dramatic changes. It isn't about doing, you know, we got to go get a Paul George or a Trey Young to just generate offense. The shots are all there. They got to get the 3-point volume up. The shots are all there. It's about being more efficient and effective. And a lot of that just comes with experience. So I think that the Magic, they got to spend, we'll get to that, I'm sure. They got to add, like as Paolo said, kind of a table setter to lineup, someone that can manage the team, do a little playmaking, do spread the floor a little bit as a shooter. They got to add that piece to the puzzle. But they're not very far, I think, from being a, maybe not, I'm not saying they're going to be an overwhelmingly great offense, but a competent offense.
Yeah, and, you know, I tend to agree with that. A little bit of shooting and some more ball handling will go a long way for this team. You know, people might first think, well, you're talking about ball handling, limiting turnovers. They had someone like that in Markelle Fultz. Like, why didn't that work? And that's, we know why that didn't work. He couldn't space the floor and he couldn't stay on the floor. He was injured most of the season. There needs to be a player that can optimize, you know, setting the table, but also being able to space the floor. And like, that's, I just want to address, cause I know there's going to be a couple listeners that are going to throw that example out there. You know, as well, we had that. Why didn't
it
work?
It's a tough balance. Like,
yeah, it is.
Markelle Fultz in theory is a lot of what the Magic need, but like you, and I love, I think Markelle does a great job taking what the defense gives him, you know, understanding his own weaknesses and limitations, but that lack of shooting hurts. Like, to be a good offense, you can't be a team with the Magic shot profile. Like, the right. Magic are a bad three, you know, the Magic were at least for the whole season, a bad 3-point shooting team. And that's okay. They understood that. They didn't take a lot of threes. They understood that that wasn't their game. They were 29th in the league, I think, in attempts this year. But it's really hard to be a low volume and low percentage team in this league. They were shot 34% from three. I think they were 26th in the league. Jeff Weltman will quickly point out that the Magic were 14th in the league after January 1st. That's a little bit more than half the season. But they're still such a low-volume three-point shooting team that I think it got to the point even that that teams were like, the Magic aren't going to shoot enough threes to make us pay. We can even leave their good shooters open. Or we don't need to be so concerned about their good shooters because their good shooters aren't going to hurt us enough. And right. So the Magic, you know, we look at Markelle Fultz took fewer than 20 threes this year. You got to have at least the nominal threat, and that's the problem.
And you know, like just to add on to your point, like our highest 3-point shooter at volume was Jalen Suggs at 5.1 attempts per game. Gary Harris, I think, is like closer to like 3 to 4 attempts. Yeah. I think it's closer to 4 attempts per game. It's not much. Most teams have multiple players that are taking 6+ threes per game, right? You know, 5, 6. A lot of teams have at least one person shooting around 8 or 9. So we're just not there. And I think this is like a perfect opportunity. Like, you're segueing it right up, right? So my next topic I want to discuss is, you know, the Magic have multiple things they're going to have to do this summer. They're going to have to evaluate their current roster with which players are going to have their options picked up, or they're going, you know, the non-guaranteed deals. Like, they have to evaluate those types of players, the Joe Ingles, the Mo Wagner, Chumo Keke is a restricted free agent. You know, they have to decide their current roster. They have to figure out what free agents are going to go after. They have to figure out the draft. And then potentially any trades, right? So there's like kind of like 4 steps for this front office. Knowing this Magic, like the data that we picked up in the playoffs and the regular season and just, you know, what we've just been talking about for the last 16 minutes, how do you think the front office is going to operate? You know, step one is this draft in a couple of weeks, and therefore afterwards, you know, the continuation of the offseason moves. Like, what do you think their mindset is right now?
You know, the thing we know about this Magic front office is they're going to be very measured. You know, I think that continuity is something that's really valuable to this team. And so, especially after such a successful season, like, you know, we could be disappointed, like, please be disappointed in Game 7. Game 7 was frustrating, was disappointing.
Absolutely.
But this was a successful season. The Magic accomplished a lot this season. They're not going to do some dramatic change. Like, we can all sense that the Magic are going to be looking for a starter caliber player. They have the money to go out and get one in free agency and trades, wherever. They're going to be searching for a starter. But I still get the sense that the Magic want to keep as much of this team intact as possible. Like, are they going to lose sleep that Chuma Okeke is gone? No. Use your draft pick to replace him. You know, we've talked about Markelle Fultz. It wouldn't completely surprise me if the Magic would like to bring Markelle Fultz back, but not at the $13 million. And as the backup point guard, that might be a little tricky. I think the Magic would love for Anthony Black to graduate into what Markelle Fultz did for the team last year.
And who knows if Fultz wants to accept that role.
Yeah,
he might be
exactly.
Wanting to go chase a bigger contract or a longer contract with another team.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And again, this, you know, there's a lot of timing stuff that has to go into this for salary cap purposes. But, you know, the Magic aren't going to just make change or just, you know, they have money. Like, they have anywhere between $30 and $50 million of cap room roughly this summer. They're not just going to throw that money around because we have it. You know, they're not going after Bismack Biyombo because they have the money to go after Bismack Biyombo. I know a lot of people are still traumatized by that. That's not how this front office operates. They're going to be intentional and they're going to be purposeful with what they do. They know, you know, hopefully by now they know what this team needs. They have their list of targets at this point of the summer. They probably know who they actually have a chance at. Let's not be naive about it. They're going to know exactly what they can do, and they'll know exactly what they need to do with the players on their roster and how they want to handle those options and those guarantees as they come up.
It's going to be an interesting summer because the Magic have been involved in multiple rumors recently with you know, people like Trae Young, Paul George. Yeah, anything, you know, and there's likely not a lot of, like, you know, it's just rumors because the Magic have cap space. They are a team that is expecting to improve their roster, and they're a young team that's attractive to be joining, right? So there's a lot of reasons for them to be connected to rumors. And, you know, the front office doesn't leak anything, but at the same point, they talk to people who leak stuff, right? So, like, and they're talking. They're making a lot of phone calls. They're going to be an active front office, as they should be and are. So, like, I'm not saying go believe every rumor you hear, but there are rumors. There's rumors for a reason, because the front office is having probably a lot of conversations. So, you know, we have the first domino is about to fall. Where things could get wild, because draft night could, you know, it's not just about
draft
this upcoming
nights.
Class. People draft nights, you know, they make a lot of big trades happen during draft. Like, what do you think? How are you approaching this draft and this draft night right now? Like, just mentally, you as a media, like, I know you're covering the draft, but what else are you mentally preparing for drafting?
Yeah.
And you know, days.
As far as the draft goes, I think you have to enter the draft assuming you're going to make the pick. You know, you have to be prepared to make the pick. Looking at the Magic's roster, looking at the available spots, the rotation, the Magic don't need another rookie. And it's not that, you know, there aren't quality players out there, but I think the Magic would be a team that is very open to trading their pick. And so I view everything that's going to happen before July 1st. July 1st when is free agency opens, like, late June 30th, but July 1st is the new calendar year, the new NBA calendar year. Before July 1st, everything that we get is a clue. So draft night is a clue of what the Magic are going to do. If, you know, they trade the pick, they draft whoever they draft, the player they draft, the position they draft, you know, the quality of the player they draft, if they're drafting like a veteran like Tristan Da Silva or Baylor Shireman, that's like, okay, that's a player that's going to come in and contribute immediately. If they're drafting a freshman like Keshawn George or You know, whoever else there, Khalil Ware, like that's more of a development project. That might be someone that's going to get a gap year in the G League. You know, these things are going to pop up. And then you have June 29th is the deadline to pick up Mo Wagner's team option, to pick up Joe Ingles' team option. What are the Magic doing with them? What does that mean? How much cap room does that free up is the bigger question. It's all a preview of what the team is ultimately going to do. Even if a deal is agreed to and discussed on draft night, there's a good chance that that's not going to become official until after the new calendar year when the Magic have the calf cap. So everything's going to kind of be sitting in stasis for a little while. So when we get to draft night, that's what, June, that's in three weeks, June 26th. When we get to the end of the first round, I think we'll have a clear idea of like, okay, this is what the Magic are thinking, or this is what the Magic need more of now. Now that they've begun this draft exercise, now that they've begun adding players to the roster. So, you know, I think you got to be open to every opportunity that's out there. You got to be exploring every opportunity that's out there. But when you get to the draft, you got to go into the draft assuming you're making the pick and assuming you're picking where you want to pick. You got to have your targets. You got to have the players you like. You got to attack and find and make sure you get the players you like. If you're, you know, depending on what the cost is and what you're willing to give up, but you got to go into the draft assuming you're making the pick.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you know, you have to be ready for it. I have not done my draft homework yet. You and I were talking about this before we started recording. So Magic fans, don't listen to me on anything draft related yet. I actually have a draft special with one of our good friends, Richard Stamen of Mavs Draft, coming on the show. And yeah, he's going to be great. And I'm starting to actually do some more research on that. Just not enough feeling confident to like talk about it on air yet. But yeah, it's going to be interesting because it's like, you know, they could draft something and then that's going to put all the hype on free agency, or all of a sudden, you know, there's a massive trade and we have some unexpected name or a name that is expected on the Magic to make things go. And it's just interesting.
To prepare fans for this, expect a big deal, you know, a big deal, either a trade or a free agent. Expect something big to happen. We all know, and you can look at the starting lineup and say, you know, you got Jalen Suggs, you got Paolo, you got Franz, and you got Wendell Carter right now, as of now.
Yeah.
Expect at least to fill that Gary Harris spot. You know, I like Gary Harris. I wouldn't be surprised if the Magic bring him back, but you're not bringing
for the
him
second
back
unit
as a starter. Yeah, as a starter. And so honestly, like I said, like all this stuff gives you a clue of what the Magic are going to do. It should also give you a clue of how they view different players on the roster. Because, you know, at this point, Paolo and Franz are the two pillars. You know, we don't, you know, this to me, that as exciting as all this free agency stuff is, I think the main goal of this summer is to try and get an extension for Franz and Jalen Suggs done today. Whether you're announcing it, whether they're actually signing it now, there's a reason maybe to wait. But Franz and Jalen Suggs are probably your two big pieces of the puzzle that you want to get done this summer, this summer for your long-term and whatever they're going to make. You know, Jalen Suggs could be a $25, $26, $27 million a year player. Don't be surprised by that. Franz Wagner, his max, I think, is $38 million, $39 million. Don't be surprised by that. You know, I don't know if he's going to get the max or not. I think there'll be some wiggle room there. Wouldn't surprise me if Franz doesn't get done because Franz is going to say, I am worth the, or Franz's agent will say, I am worth the max. The Magic say, okay, go prove it. And then if, you know, we get to the end of the year, we'll talk again. This is, you know, so when I look at things, especially at Jalen Suggs, the place where I was disappointed with Jalen Suggs in during the playoffs, especially, was he does not seem to be developing into at least a pseudo point guard. I don't think that's where he's at in this stage of his career. And some of it might be, okay, he was injured his first 2 years. He was just kind of playing his role and doing what the Magic needed from him there. If the Magic are hunting, if the Magic draft another point guard, if the Magic go out and acquire another point guard, that probably is a hint that, oh, we don't think Jalen Suggs is a point guard, or we don't think Jalen Suggs is a primary ball handler. We just want him to be kind of a 3-and-D, a super 3-and-D. That's going to be kind of really the big clue is, you know, this summer, the Magic are kind of setting the table for the next 4 years of the kind of team they're going to have, the kind of team they're going to be, and the chess pieces that they have on their board for future trades down the line. Like, their winning window's open. They're clearly capable of winning now. this summer is about setting that table and defining roles for the next 4 years.
The player they trade for or sign will likely be the first player in a very long time that gets a 3 to 4 year contract or is already on that contract and expected to be here. We've had a lot of, you know, outside of kind of like the core guys that have established themselves, like, you know, the outside of Jonathan Isaac and Markel Fultz, like most of the free agents have been on like 1 to 2 year deals with a lot of team options on that second year. So I'm expecting that not to be how they spend their money this summer. I guess they could if a lot of their main targets strike out and like kick the can one more year down the road, and then like you kind of have to spend it next summer.
It's gonna be tough.
Probably not. Yeah. And so that's kind of how I'm thinking about it. And you're right. You know, like they have to, like, we had Keith Smith on a couple weeks ago on my last episode to talk specific about like cap and all that stuff. And, you know, he kind of mentioned like we have a very small window between now and kind of next off season to really use this money properly to build out this roster for the next, you know, 4 years. You know, as far as your core main pillar, you know, players. Now, granted, if something doesn't work out, you can trade bad contracts. It's not never fun, but if a fit isn't perfect, everyone can get traded. Everyone's movable. Yeah. But you know, you hope
and
the
Magic
to
their credit,
make the right.
And the Magic to their credit have all the draft capital in the world to spend. Like they are very well positioned to push in chips when they're ready.
So it's gonna be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, kind of obviously the first domino. How does draft night work out for us? Draft nights work out for us, because then that lets us know, okay, you know, if they make a big swing at draft, then it kind of lets us know how they're gonna go about free agency, kind of fill in the gaps on smaller players. If they don't make a big swing at draft, you know, with the trade, then you know they're probably gonna try and make those moves in the free agency. And we're getting closer. We're just weeks away now, which is really fun. So, cool. So we're going to slowly wrap up our time here, listeners. You know, we're trying to keep these episodes a little bit shorter. We got a couple of listener questions, and I somehow got added into a group, Magic group chat, that's got like 200 something people in it. Ooh. It's kind of obnoxious and wild. But I'm not super active in there. Every now and then I'll chime in with just like a reply on like someone who's like maybe saying some incorrect information on a, you know, whatever. But I took an opportunity to say, I'm recording with Philip today. If you have any questions, let me know. And there was a couple of them that stuck out. This one in particular, my good friend Joey hit me up and said, the Jazz today just announced their rebranding. Do you expect the Magic to do a rebranding in the foreseeable future?
So I believe it was after last season. Or 2 seasons ago, Alex Martins publicly said that it is something the Magic are considering, like a refresh to the logo, a refresh to the jersey set. You know, the Magic have essentially had the same jerseys now since 2009, since the 2009 season. So I do anticipate that there will be some type of brand refresh. We're obviously, I think, we've kind of moved into this new era of like jersey marks and word marks. A lot more kind of circular logos. And I think that I've always believed that's kind of in anticipation of jerseys moving to sponsors across the chest and logos on the patch instead. I've kind of suspected like, oh, they're starting to like compress the logos down into something. So I don't think we'll ever see a dramatic change in the logo. I would always advocate for go back to as much of the original word marking as you can. Love this. Love the having the star as an A. I just think that gives the word marking a little bit of character. Everyone's obviously in love with the original logo and stuff. But I think we'll always just kind of go the minimalist route, because like, how do you represent Magic visually in the basketball?
Sure.
I think the streaking basketball is always going to kind of be the visual language.
Yeah.
As far as the jerseys, I do think a jersey remake is in the offing. I think that I will say this. I've had this discussion with some people recently too. The Magic have always been a little adventurous with their city jerseys, and I've always appreciated that. Like, I haven't loved every single Magic City jersey.
Sure. Yeah, they've pushed some limits there a little bit.
But they've been willing to try new things. Like,
I love the space jerseys.
The space jersey. I like the first space jersey a lot. Yeah. Like the first space jersey, I was very skeptical when I saw the prints of it. And then I saw it in person. I was like, okay, like it looks fine. It's not egregious. They tried something different, tried something new. I'm always going to respect teams that take a little bit of a risk with these things.
Sure.
Like they're only here for a year. You just deal with them. I love the orange concept. I didn't think it was executed as well as I would have liked.
Agreed.
But I love the idea of trying that different thing. I would have loved to see that orange throwback, faux throwback jersey in blue instead of orange.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
The Kingdom on the Rise jerseys the last 2 years have been really successful, I think. It would not completely surprise me. I don't think the Magic should do this, but making that kind of their permanent ward mark or their permanent jersey, I don't think would be absolutely crazy. I don't love that idea. I want to be clear on that. But people seem to like those jerseys too. I'm anticipating that they'll do a white version of the jersey this year after the black and blue version the last 2 years. But those jerseys have been really popular. The problem is, like, the Magic's first jerseys were perfect.
Yeah.
Their second jerseys were pretty good too. And since then, they haven't been able to replicate that in any way. And so, you know, you can't go back to the original design completely. That's the challenge. And so it's just like, okay, how do you change things up? You know, going back to as close to the original word marking as you can, I think, is the start. And from there, you can build everything.
Yeah. And you know, as you were beginning your response to that question, I don't know if this will – I'm going to start a small conspiracy theory.
Go for it.
We did just get – you know, the Magic did just get approved a good amount of money for some remodeling and refreshing of Kia Center this past year. So – maybe they'll use that opportunity to update some logos. Look, and some places. Probably not, but maybe.
So the Kia Center money that they got from the county is to general upkeep. Like, if you've been to the Kia Center lately.
General upkeep and update some logos because they're going to rebrand.
This is just for the arena. So, like, the ribbon around the spire is, like, very pixelated, like –
I think they're doing a new scoreboard too.
Yeah. I don't know. If they get a new Jumbotron, that'd be awesome. Cause like all the Jumbotrons are now horizontal instead of vertical.
Yeah.
I love our Jumbotron. It's unique. It's different, but like it worked for 10 years ago when the arena was built. Now it's a new era, but I will say this, the Magic have changed their jerseys for each player that defined their history. So Shaq had his jersey.
Yep.
Penny and T-Mac, you know, they changed the jerseys for Penny, but Penny and T-Mac had that jersey. T-Mac had a jersey. They dumped those quickly. Dwight had a jersey. We're still wearing Dwight's jersey. Paolo is that dude. Paolo is a player that will define an era of Magic basketball. He's going to get a jersey. And he'll have a jersey that will define his tenure with the team.
It'll be probably the next couple of years, I imagine.
Next year or two. It's like people don't understand. Like, there are a lot of rules when it comes to jerseys.
And there are. There's a lot of regulations,
and it takes years to develop these jerseys. It takes years to get approvals because, you know, the NBA has to create inventory. They have to sell and market it.
Yeah,
probably don't want everyone changing their jerseys every year. You know, like the Utah Jazz thing that came out today as we're recording this, the Jazz are introducing two of that jersey set this year and two of them next year. And it's because they're still required by league rules to wear their ugly jerseys for however many years they have to wear them. And they can, you know, fudge around with the third jersey and the city jersey, obviously. That's kind of what you're working around here. So,
totally.
Alex Martin said a few years ago that a new brand identity has been under discussion. That's, you know, that means there's still a 2 year runway. So, you know, I don't think it'll be this year, obviously, but it wouldn't surprise me if next year we're looking at a new Magic jersey.
Yeah, that'd be great. I would love that as well. Okay. So one last question. I probably should have flipped them because this one's a little bit more serious and back to like team building and culture and stuff like that. And, you know, outside of the more fun thinking of rebranding, Hank the Tank on Twitter asks, are there any plans to change up the coaching staff around Moe's? Are we bringing back the same staff? And then I'm just going to tweak that a little bit. Last year, right before training camp, we lost Nate Tibbetts.
Nate Tibbetts.
Yeah. And, you know, he was kind of like the number two guy on the team, you know, the offensive kind of coordinator type person. And they didn't backfill that position. They just kind of left the places as the same. So I'm going to like kind of answer part of this, and then I will let you answer the rest. I don't think the coaching staff is going to change at all unless someone gets a better position from another team elsewhere. I think if I'm understanding things, things worked out really damn well. They're probably going to not try and change that. What I might lean on you to answer is, what's up with the Nate Tibbetts role and the lead assistant role? Do you think that is going to stay as is, or do you think they bring in another person to kind of fill out that position again and, you know, expand the coaching staff's capabilities there?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I don't have a feel for what the team is going to do. I would say this, kind of like we talked about earlier, continuity is a big deal for this team.
Sure.
And that's not just continuity with the players, that's continuity with the coaching staff. Everybody on the team knows what each coach is going to expect of them and what each coach is going to bring to the table with them. And that matters too. And the coaches know how to work really, really well together. It would not surprise me if the Magic go external and bring in another assistant coach to kind of be that offensive coordinator to kind of fill in a gap that they don't have. It would not surprise me if the Magic hire internally to fill that spot. You know, Randy Gregory is a very well thought of development coach, kind of back, you know, back a bench coach for this team. Really good relationship with almost every player on the team, I would say, honestly. You know, there's, you know, John Calipari kind of jumped the gun and congratulated him on getting an assistant coaching job. I remember seeing that. I remember, you know, texting some Magic people saying, hey, is this official? And they're like, no, Coach Cal just talked a little bit out of turn. Like, everyone's kind of filling in different responsibilities and kind of filling in that gap, and obviously worked for the Magic. But it was a team effort to fill in what they lost in Nate Tibbetts, obviously. It would not surprise me if something like that happens, where they just promote internally and move some people up the bench or change some titles, or, you know, titles are about money, like pay some guys a little bit more. That's ultimately what it comes down to. But it wouldn't surprise me if they go external and bring in one new assistant coach to kind of help coordinate the offense a little. Like I said, I don't think the offense is necessarily broken. It needs better personnel, and it probably needs just a team to grow up a little bit and be a little bit more organized to reach its full potential. So I don't know if the Magic will have some dramatic change on the coaching staff. Do I expect like JB Bickerstaff to be hanging around during training camp? Yeah, I do actually. I do expect that. Him and Mo's are really good friends. Although I think that'll be a little awkward for everybody. But you know, that happens all the time. Coaches visit each other during training camp when they're not working. So Monty Mathis, who is an assistant coach under Frank Vogel, is now a scout for the Magic. He's hanging around the facility too. He was in Dallas with Jamal Mosley, I believe. He was in Dallas with Rick Carlisle. He was an offensive coach. Would it surprise me if he gets said, hey, you're working for us as a scout, you know, you want to be an assistant coach again? That would not shock me at all either. So, you know, there's a lot of internal options as much as there are external options.
Yeah, it's just interesting about that topic because, you know, Nate got his big deal with the WNBA, and like no one really said anything about it. It was like, cool,
the Magic filled in. Give credit to the Magic. Like that was a week before the season started. That was really, really tough. I'm sure it was really, really tough for Coach Tibbetts.
Totally.
They adjusted well, and obviously something works. So, you know, you don't want to tinker too much, but, you know, yeah.
Totally.
You don't want to overload people either.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Philip, this is a good place to kind of wrap up our conversation. I really appreciate it. It's been a little bit since we've chatted, you know, it's been a couple of months. Yeah. You're one of the regular guests that I connect with multiple times this season. And so it's nice to connect for the first time in the off season. I imagine you and I will connect later on in the off season for an episode at some point. As always, go ahead and lay out the red carpet. If people don't know where to find your work, they're sleeping under a rock. But if they, go ahead and let people know where they can find everything that you're up to.
Yeah. The best place to find my work is, of course, at Orlando Magic Daily. That's where I write. You can also find my podcast, Daily Podcast, still going 5 days a week. We go 5 days a week until the end of July. I will be still pumping out Daily Magic content at Locked On Magic. You can find that wherever you download podcasts, as well as on YouTube. Just search for Locked On Magic. And if you need even more Magic content, I have a Patreon page. I'm currently working through player evaluations from the season. on my Patreon page, the Orlando Magic Hub. That's patreon.com/Orlando Magic Hub. And as always, thank you for all your support.
I'm a subscriber to his Patreon. It's amazing. You guys should just tap in for sure. All right, fans, thank you for listening to another episode of The Close-Up, a part of the Orlando Magic HQ network group brand. I don't know that last word that we are, but conglomerate. Philip, thanks again for joining me. We will talk soon, and yeah, let's go Magic.